Good evening, I'm Ann Vandersteel, and tonight we bring you a very special presentation, a sit-down interview with Dr. Vladimir Zelenko. I'm standing outside the facility where Dr. Zelenko is currently undergoing cancer treatment, an affliction he's been battling for over 4 years now. I'd like to say he's waging war against the very people that started the pandemic. That is to only be determined, but what I can tell you is when you sit next to this Ukrainian-born American citizen whose family immigrated here when he was just 4 years old, and you understand the humble beginnings of a small country doctor thrust onto the international stage. Why? Because he stood up to medical tyranny and he stood up to the demons behind the global pandemic when he understood just what needed to be brought to the forefront to President Trump's attention about hydroxychloroquine, azithromycin, and zinc, the magic bullet and the gun, if you will, to battle the global pandemic. It is my humble honor to bring to you Dr. Vladimir Zelenko. As we find ourselves still reeling from 2 years of a battle with coronavirus and, of course, massive medical tyranny and government overreach, the one man who stood out very early on is seated right next to me, Dr. Vladimir Zelenko, a Ukrainian-born American citizen right here in South Florida. Dr. Zelenko, it's an honor to sit down with you this evening.
Thank you very much, Anne. You know, you were one of the first to give me a platform to talk. And you actually kind of tutored me how to deal with this industry, so thank you.
Well, it was very fortuitous, and I recall the day that President Trump stood in front of the podium when we called these the coronavirus press rallies every evening at about 5 o'clock. He and Dr. Birx and Dr. Fauci and others, Vice President Pence, got up and updated the public as to what was going on. And he read a letter, and he talked about a letter from you, Dr. Zelenko, a doctor from upstate New York, that presented the idea of using hydroxychloroquine, azithromycin, and zinc to battle the invisible enemy.
Right. So the way that happened, I, in the first week of March, was a family doctor in upstate New York community. I was there for 17 years, 35,000 people in the square mile. And in the first week of March, COVID arrived and literally spread to everyone because of the population density. And at that time, there was no treatment. Send someone to the hospital, they end up on the respirator, and in New York area, 85% of people were dying on the respirator. So I didn't think that was a good idea. And so I really prayed to God. And the way it evolved, basically, I came up with a treatment strategy. I used it. It worked. I didn't believe it worked. But after 50 or so patients, seeing the same pattern of people getting better within 12 hours, I said, okay, I just stumbled across something that is important. And I made a video, reached out to the President of the United States, put it on YouTube, my son did, and 16 hours later, Mark Meadows called me on my cell phone, and that began my relationship with the Trump administration. Then I sent a letter to the President as a follow-up, and when the President announced that he's taking hydroxychloroquine for prevention, he credited my letter that was the rationale for why he was taking it. That's how I found out he got the letter. And so I recommended very specific approaches, stratify patients into high and low risk, treat them extremely early within the first few days of symptoms, and treat them hard with antivirals and anti-inflammatories. In retrospect now, if you look back at my data and dozens of peer-reviewed studies, which corroborated my observations, it's an 85% reduction in hospitalization and death. What that means is we could have ended this global crisis in the middle of April of 2020.
That's right.
And the reason why it didn't end was President Trump gave an order that the national stockpile of hydroxychloroquine should be made available to the American public. And that task was given over to Dr. Rick Bright from BARDA, which is a subdivision of HHS, Health and Human Services. And he was supposed to use the right to try pathway that would make hydroxychloroquine available to the public. And instead of doing that, he collaborated with Janet Woodcock of the opioid crisis fame. And on the Biden, she ran the FDA. Bad deed goes unpunished, I guess. But and they collaborated together, conspired together to block access. And the way they did that, they issued an emergency use authorization for hydroxychloroquine for hospitalized patients only, which by that point, it's too late right. to actually treat people. So these are the mechanics of genocide. This is how you could call it the deep state or President Trump's orders were sabotaged, but actually our well-being was sabotaged.
You know, Dr. Zelenko, it really was, in hindsight, of course, is always 2020, and sadly, we are looking back at carnage, genocide, unnecessary loss of life, true intention of the deep state, of the administrative state, to take control and fulfill an agenda of people that are nameless and faceless out there, but they've used very public figures like Bill Gates, who is funding the WHO, like Dr. Anthony Fauci, like Dr. Birx, Rick Bright, Janet Woodcock. There's been so many involved in all of this, but there's only been a few that have really stood up in the face of all this tyranny and spoken out. You were that first light, that first beacon of hope that we saw out there. And that was the reason I reached out to you, because I wanted to know more. I saw something when President Trump spoke about you that needed to be elevated and amplified. And since that amplification, you became very popular in the new media area, and you were vilified by mainstream. Tell us what it's been like for you to not only try to stand in the face of medical tyranny, save lives, but also have to battle the mainstream media on this to make sure that the message was getting out to save as many lives as possible. That had to transform your existence.
Well, I went from a small upstate New York country doctor to dealing with the world state on the world stage. I mean, governments have consulted with me. I'll have to share with you an anecdote, which is amazing, about Honduras. But initially, it was a learning curve how to deal with being vilified on the front page of the New York Times or Washington Post or Vanity Fair put me on the front cover with me on top, President Trump underneath me, and Stephen Hahn, the FDA commissioner, underneath him. And I'm like the Jew who the protocols of the elders of Zion. Anti-Semitic literature showing that I control the world, you know. That type of imaging and narrative was designed to marginalize me, to vilify me, to take away my credibility. And the reason why whoever is doing this in a coordinated fashion is because my message is actually true. And I'm over target, and they cannot let it get out. But they're not God. And the truth will get out, is getting out. It is out. Let me be blunt. There's nothing natural about COVID-19. It's a weapon of mass murder and genocide. We have 20 years of peer-reviewed paper evidence and a patent trail of 20 years that explain and document how a benign animal virus was manipulated by man, actually by Dr. Ralph Baric from University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. We haven't seen or heard of him in the last 2.5 years. I wonder where he is. And it was designed to infect human beings and destroy human lung tissue. So it was released for that purpose. Now, if you notice, all the treatments that were developed that were effective, whether it was hydroxychloroquine, or ivermectin, or steroids, or early intervention, immediately marginalized, vilified. Any doctor advocating for them, deplatformed. You know, in Australia, any doctor, New South Wales, if anyone, any doctor prescribed hydroxychloroquine or ivermectin for COVID-19, went to jail for 6 months. And the government told you why. Mm-hmm. Because you're encouraging vaccine hesitancy. Think about that. You know what that means? Let me translate that. It actually works. And since it works, people get better. When they get better, they don't want to take the vaccine. They probably tell their families not to take it either. And because of that, doctors who are actually treating patients properly and saving their lives are being sent to jail. So the whole point of the COVID-19 weapon actually wasn't to massacre people, although that's part of it. it was to generate global psychosis. And what I mean by that, if you create global fear, and then you prevent anything to mitigate that fear, but that may give people hope, and you restrict, you know, you suppress that, and you allow for the fear to continue, then you isolate them from their support structure, whether spiritual or family. Mm-hmm. Then you dehumanize them by putting a face diaper on them. The majority of people psychologically decompensate. That's called mass psychosis. And they become gullible. You can manipulate their behavior. And so then you introduce a false promise, this vaccine. And the only thing this vaccine doesn't do is prevent COVID. And there's a lot of other things, by the way. And by the way, don't believe anything that I'm saying. Trust but verify. I'm just one person. But I have evidence for everything that I'm claiming. I can make that available to the whole world. Do your own due diligence and come to your own conclusions.
Well, you know, Canada has recently put out data that the vaxxed and the double vaxxed and the triple vaxxed have far more high incidence of COVID, hospitalizations, and death than the unvaxxed. It is out there now. They're putting it out there. So they recognize that. You know, when you look at what's happening globally, we have a massive financial crisis looming right now. We're already starting to see a lot of markets implode. We're looking at a global war. We have the war in Ukraine right now. You're a Ukrainian-born American citizen. You were born in Kyiv. Tie that into what you see happening with this coordinated pandemic of everything imploding right now.
Yes, I was born in Kyiv. My family immigrated to New York when I was 4 years old. I don't remember much, but I grew up with a family from there, so I know or heard, never really directly experienced until now, tyranny. And my parents left to come here to escape slavery, essentially, and unfortunately followed them here.
Why, with what we see happening in Kyiv right now, and in Ukraine specifically, we're seeing the mainstream media talk about Russia is the boogeyman. Vladimir Putin is evil. You have other sources of media that are talking about Ukrainian Nazis. Based on what you and your family know of and why they left Ukraine, describe what you see, what is really happening from your context over in Ukraine and Russia right now.
Let me tell you, if you want to talk about spiritual morality equivalency, they're both pretty equal. That's a very Wild Wild West type of lawlessness, type of rules, power, corruption. So I view Russia and Ukraine pretty much equal in, I mean, Russia is more powerful, but Ukraine, Ukraine and Russia are pretty much equally corrupt. My apologies.
That's all right.
So, but what I find amazing is that for 2 years, the only thing we heard is that COVID's going to kill you, you need the vaccine. And then anything that the vaccine did to actually hurt people was suppressed as fake news. And everyone was buying it for 2 years. Mm-hmm. And then overnight, entire global media, in unison, and in a coordinated and orchestrated fashion, pivoted. You know, the joke, Putin cured COVID. Because in one instant, overnight, the entire world's media started messaging Russia and Putin bad, Ukraine and Zelensky, Vladimir Zelensky. Don't confuse him with Vladimir Zelenko. I didn't start this. I get emails like screaming at me. I'm not the president of Ukraine. Anyway, so So Ukraine and Zelensky, good. So what's amazing to me, regardless of the factual nature, is it true, is it not, but the fact that the media, in coordination, everyone together, pivoted overnight, makes me understand that the same pagans, child sacrificing degenerates that created this COVID-19 vaccine genocide as a distraction for whatever purposes that they have also destabilized geopolitical politics and are bringing us close to a potentially thermonuclear war.
Is that the goal here? Between looking at obviously what they published themselves and Bill Gates funded over on the Georgia Guidestones, wanting to have only 500 million human beings living in harmony with nature, but you look at the global pandemic of food supply chain crisis that's looming. We've got 56 food processing plants in the United States that have been burned down the past 12 months, two of which a plane flew into, oddly enough. We're seeing, obviously, the war in Ukraine. We're looking at the financial crisis. There's discussion with other good physicians out there, like Dr. Lee Vliet and others, that are talking about hemorrhagic fever as the next pandemic that's coming. The World Homicide Organization, as you call it, I love calling
it. I coined it that phrase.
You coined that. WHO has got the International Pandemic Treaty, which, by all intents and purposes, has already been agreed upon. The signing on the 22nd is a formality later this month. Is this really their agenda to depopulate the planet by several billions or more at this point? What is the goal here, Dr. Zelenko?
Well, we have to understand the mentality and the philosophy of the enemy to be able to answer that. We're dealing with people that don't believe in God. And if they do worship, they don't worship God. They worship something else. They also don't believe in an afterlife, in a world to come. And if you ask them one simple question, what happens to human consciousness when someone dies? They say it goes away, extinguishes. Oblivion, nothing. This is what they say, not me. And the one thing that these degenerates up to this point haven't been able to accomplish is escape death. But they don't want to die because there's nothing. And now here they're all powerful, right? They're billions, they control humanity. So there have been the last 30, 40 years working, spending billions, working on technology that they believe. I'm not sure if it's possible or not, but they believe that they can create a new life form, a hybrid, organic, inorganic platform with artificial intelligence. But more importantly, they can download their consciousness into that humanoid life form. And so, you know, they have a problem. This physical body at some point begins to break down, right? And so everyone dies. So they want to transfer their consciousness into this new artificial body life form and escape death. And then when that machine begins to break down, they'll just download it into the newer version, 2.0. It sounds like fantasy, it sounds like science fiction, except except that's what they're messaging. That's what they're spending their... Listen to Elon Musk. He says it outright. Listen to Ray Kurzweil, the famous futurist. Or Yuval Noah Harari. Now, this is a bad boy. Mm-hmm. I want to talk about him. He is called the prophet by Klaus Schwab, Bill Gates, Zuckerberg, and Obama calls him his favorite author. He did it on CNN. So what does Yuval Noah Harari say? He's just one man, a little short guy. But he is messaging and influencing the thought patterns of the richest and most powerful people on the planet. So maybe we should know what he says. He says the following. This is verbatim. Look it up. Humans are hackable animals. If you can hack an animal, you can engineer it with intelligent design. But not with some god intelligence above the clouds, but with human intelligent design. For we are now gods. There's no free will. There's no soul. And, this is my favorite, COVID-19 will be an inflection point in history when 24/7 digital surveillance went under the skin. It's interesting. You know, in 2016, Klaus Schwab gave an interview on a French media platform. I saw it with subtitles. And he said something extremely puzzling. No one could figure it out. That in 10 years, by 2026, every single human being will be tagged with a digital identifier internally. So before I ask you why, I'd rather ask how. How do you logistically get 7 billion people to willingly get injected or implanted with some type of technology that allows for them to be surveilled? Well, I have an idea. Mm-hmm. How about you manufacture a global crisis, create global fear, psychosis, then offer a false solution, which has nothing to do with COVID-19. Because if it did, why would we vaccinate 6-month-old children?
That's right.
According to the CDC, children have a 99.998% chance of recovery from COVID with no treatment. It's actually safer than the flu. There's no medical reason to inject them with something that is leaving the Sherman March is child's play compared to what this vaccine is doing. It's a carnage. Why would I inject that into a child? Not for medical reasons. There are other reasons, which we'll discuss. But one of them is to transition the world to a world of maximum control, surveillance, and in other words, slavery. You know, slavery has been a biblical and historic phenomenon. Even in this country, 150 years ago, we had slaves. I mean, it's not that long ago. And in many parts of the world, they still have slaves. Why? Because slavery has always been the most lucrative commodity and business venture in history. So there is a component here of controlling human behavior. Now, there is patent evidence that these vaccines have sensors in them already. These are United States patents that allow for the measurement of biometric data.
Right. Why do they need so many injections then? I mean, we've seen the Microsoft patent, Bill Gates' patent on the use of the biometric ability to the ability to monitor your biometrics vis-a-vis the nanoparticles that are in this vaccine.
But also transmit that with your location to a third party.
But why do they need to keep layering so many vaccines then? Because they're now saying you're going to need a booster every 6 months if you're an adult.
I'll tell you why. When the computer systems of Pfizer and Moderna were hacked, what we discovered was that all the vials or the lot numbers
right.
contained different concentrations or different formulations.
Okay.
Now, you would think, right, one of the jobs of the FDA is that someone in America will be getting the same thing as someone in Europe.
Right.
But that's not the case. We found that some of the lot numbers were 5,000% or 50x more lethal than others. So think about it. If we would give everyone that vial and everyone just started dying, who would continue to take it?
That's right. No, and then that's what we've seen if you look at, there's websites out there, howbad.info. has been really quite interesting to look at the lot numbers of the variety of shots out there, and you can see the ones that had the more adverse events, the more deaths, etc. I believe people actually are, in fact, using this if they're going to get vaccine cards from, say, a CVS. I've heard stories of people that are paying CVS pharmacists, you know, a couple hundred bucks cash to have the shot squirted in the trash can just to get the vaccine card filled out. The military now is testing our military for HIV. And hepatitis, I believe. I think when they do that, they're going to find a lot of their military probably haven't taken the jab because they know that this is lethal.
So it's created a lot of confusion.
It has.
That was the point. And let's discuss the real motives here so that people understand. And again, I have documentation for all of this. But if you look, October 2020, the FDA gave a presentation to its own scientists. Mm-hmm. And it got leaked. Slide 16 of that presentation listed all the side effects to be expected from these vaccines. Now, that's 2 months prior to the rollout.
Right.
I didn't know that the FDA had prophetic powers, but I guess they do. Because now, 15, 16 months later, we have millions of data points from the VAERS database and the Eurovigilance database, which is the equivalent in Europe, to have 100% correlation with what the FDA said was going to happen,
right,
to actually what happened. And so what happened? Well, a lot of people died within a short period of time from getting a vaccine. People's lifespans have been decreased because of increase in cancer and autoimmune diseases. Miscarriage rates have gone up from 10 to 82% in the first trimester. And people have become infertile. That's a brilliant weapon of eugenics. So that's one component. The second component is the surveillance component. And I didn't just finish the derivation because it's important. There is tracking technology. We already know that. There's actually evidence of it under the microscope in these vaccines. But so what? Well, there's a patent, like you said, that Microsoft owns that allows the linkage of biometric data transmission to the use of cryptocurrency.
Right.
That's important, and we'll discuss in a minute why. But the other thing that these vaccines do, you just have to listen to the words of evil, of Klaus Schwab and Bill Gates. Because evil has a certain property, and I don't know if you noticed, they like to brag to you what they're doing.
They have to project.
Before they do it.
Right.
Before they do it.
Right.
So, for example, Hitler published Mein Kampf years before he took power. He laid it out there, what I'm going to do. He didn't hide it. And so, what are they saying? They said, like this, these vaccines change who you are. Klaus Schwab, these vaccines change who you are. What does that mean? He says it because they modify your genomic code. Think about that. We could now really manipulate, splice in or splice out code at will. If I wanted to, I could splice in the code of a horse into a person. Or I could splice out a tumor suppressor gene and cause a spike in cancers. So, I mean, would you give Klaus Schwab or Bill Gates access to your email password?
Absolutely not.
How about your genetic code that makes...
Definitely not.
That you're made in the image of God in that code.
That's right. And they're changing. They're changing what the image of God is. Dr. Zelenko, I want to take a break, give you a couple of minutes. We'll be right back with more from Dr. Zelenko. We're going to go into the connection of cryptocurrency. And then we're also going to talk about some personal things here with Dr. Zelenko, why he's here right now. So stick with us right here on Sealed Truth.
It's a general immune health preventive strategy. So you need vitamin D, then you need zinc, which is the bullet, and then to form a functioning gun, you need vitamin C and quercetin. Patients were having trouble sourcing it because it was four different ingredients that were not always available in the same place. They had trouble finding the right doses. It was a puzzle that was a little too complex for people to put together. So I was asked to produce something that has everything in one package. So with the help of my colleagues, we were able to produce a compound called Z-Stack, which basically has vitamin C, vitamin D, and most importantly, has quercetin and zinc. And all I'm allowed to say is that it's an immune booster and nutritional supplement, which it is. Hello, I'm Dr. Vladimir Zev Zelenko, and thank you so much for watching Steel Truth.
Okay, and we are still here in South Florida at a cancer treatment facility here with Dr. Vladimir Zelenko. He's taken some very valuable time out of his morning to sit down with us and go through what we've been witnessing and living through, the horrors of the last couple of years, but really it's all about the plan they have going forward. Dr. Zelenko, before break, we talked about cryptocurrency and how they're linking human beings vis-a-vis these death shots, poisonous death shots, as you call them, the vaccine, as they call them, to the Internet of Things so that they can track, trace, and also gauge how we spend money, because really what their goal is to, with this global financial reset, is to usher out central bank digital currency, the next fiat of money, of things. Tell us a little more about your thoughts on this.
Well, the purpose is control. Look at China, what's going on there. The CCP, Chinese Communist Party, controls the central bank, everything actually in China. The central bank in China issued the digital yuan, which is China's cryptocurrency. After that was issued, all other all other cryptocurrencies were made illegal. So the only way now to transact in China is through a government-run cryptocurrency-based system. Then they linked the social credit score system to cryptocurrency, which means that if they don't like you, they could instantaneously turn off your ability to transact. Now, that means you can't buy bread for your family. So they don't have to keep their gulags or put a bullet in your head anymore. All they need to do is manipulate whether or not you can buy stuff or do transactions. But that is still an external-based system. What's happening now is that globally people are getting inoculated with digitized biometric data transmitters. And since we know there's a patent that can link that transmission to cryptocurrency, now let me describe the scenario. You want to buy bread. So you go online, you choose your favorite store, you order bread, now you need to pay for it. So you scan your hand because now you're transmitting. That gets sent a signal, gets charged to your account. Probably some drone will deliver it to you. That's pretty cool. Except, what if I don't want to be part of the system?
Yeah.
What if I don't want someone to know 24/7 where I am, what my internal biometrics are? Do you know how lie detectors work? They measure your biometrics.
Right.
And there are certain signatures that they could tell if someone's lying or not. Let me give you a scenario. Let's say, we'll do it on you. I show you a face of Obama. Now, I'm sure that there will be a physiological response to that, which could be measured. And people who are running this system are aware of that response. And they know exactly what it means. So they have a way of already knowing your inner temperament. Think about that.
It leads to thought crimes, the thought police. You're thinking about doing something.
It leads to identifying who your enemy is, who's not a supporter of yours. So anyway, so what that really is the mechanics of slavery.
Yeah.
Now, if you look at the World Economic Forum, their agenda for 2030, they say on their website, and it's also the UN agenda, America will no longer be a superpower.
I submit to the world that we probably aren't right now, Dr. Zelenko.
Well, but that's their agenda.
Right.
And so is the UN agenda. Why would we keep internal cancer and enemies, foreign and domestic? Why would we let them be here? And then a few countries will then rule globally. So here's my question, Anne. How do you take the most powerful economy and military in history, and in a few years, undermine its superpower status? I'll tell you how to do it. You create a false pandemic. You have policies that lead to financial destruction. You lock down the economy for no good reason. More than a million small businesses went out bankrupt. I couldn't go to my local grocery store, but I could go to Walmart, because that was safe.
Right.
And so what happened was the market share of a million small businesses got absorbed and gobbled up by the bigger businesses. If you look at their valuations, they in many cases doubled, if not tripled.
Mm-hmm.
So we've seen the biggest theft of middle-class wealth in history right in front of our eyes, number one. Number two, you get a national debt that's over $30 trillion. Then you drive up inflation, which is Biden's doing it right now. This is a controlled collapse. They're doing this on purpose. Why else would you, I don't know, send $50 billion to Ukraine when your own country doesn't have baby formula?
That's right. But the border stores do.
Yeah.
They've moved it all to the border for the incoming influx of God knows who.
Yeah, so they're stealing formula from American infants to give it to illegal aliens.
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense. But the worst thing that they're doing, oh, so inflation is going up. The American dollar has been devalued. You know, Saudi Arabia and Russia both are switching from using the dollar for like petrodollars or doing energy purchases to the digital yuan.
Yes.
So the dollar, people are losing confidence in the American dollar, American currency, American power. Now, most people don't realize what's going to happen by 2026. According to congressional data, Medicare will go bankrupt. Wait, 2026. Isn't that when Klaus Schwab said in 2016 that within 10 years, by 2026, every single human being will be tagged by a digital identifier?
Yes.
Let's put the puzzle together. What will happen to American economy? And then, since everything is intertwined, remember in 2008, the housing crisis?
Mm-hmm.
Things globalized within 2-3 days.
Right.
Because all the economies are intertwined. What do you think is going to happen to the world economic stability when Medicare begins to tank? There will be a lot of turbulence. There will be a crisis. It's going to be hyped up by the media. And then you never let a good crisis go to waste. That will be a pretext to switch really the world to a one world digital cryptocurrency controlled by a few degenerates. And basically, now you have a global power that controls global transactions. It's called the World Economic Forum for a reason. Because now the main weapon is controlling the economies, controlling people's resources.
So let's put some faces and some names out there. Who are these degenerates, as you call them? We know Klaus Schwab, we know Bill Gates, but who else do we need to put in our mind so that we can put a face to the name or the name to the face? But then, what would you do to get rid of these people? How do we stop them?
So these are people that have generational wealth and power. They've shaped history probably for millennia. Put together with the Nova Rich, and I'll give you some examples, but in order to pull this off, what's been going on, this is a logistically masterful plan that they've carried out and executed. It's evil, but it's still, you can get in awe of it.
Mm-hmm.
And in order to make it happen, you need to be able to control academia. Because academia gave all the junk science, the false narrative, all this academic malfeasance, provided the data that the media then took, started broadcasting to the world to scare people. Then the politicians came in and used that as a pretext for policies of tyranny. And then the industries of the world were ready to position to pounce and take advantage. Now, who do you know that is a stakeholder and has influence that can coordinate all these different sectors? It's not me. So if you do your due diligence and you look and dig deeply, there are 4 or 5 asset management companies that really control the entire world's assets. And the two main ones are BlackRock and Vanguard.
Right.
And what's interesting about those two, they invest in each other.
Correct.
Circular investment. So think of BlackRock and Vanguard as a monopoly. They manage over $20 trillion in assets. So, for example, they own CNN and Fox News. They own Pepsi and Coke. You get what I mean? They dance on both sides. Now, who owns them?
Vanguard, we don't know.
Well,
or do we?
Well, whoever does own them, I think it's reasonable to say are the richest people in the world.
Correct.
You don't have to be a genius for that one. And I'm not saying all rich people are complicit in this. I'm not at all. But if you want to look for the most likely people that are causing all this horror, you're going to find it in that group. Now, there are some people that are absolutely obvious. The British royal family. I'll tell you why. Because for generations, they've been talking about decreasing the world population. For example, Prince Philip, Queen Elizabeth's husband, I have videos. He said, if he can come back to this world, he'll come back as a virus to destroy 90% of the population. Mm-hmm. I mean, he says it on video, the 20 years ago. Same thing you hear from Charles. Same messaging.
Bill Gates using vaccines to control population.
Yeah, but Bill Gates is a puppet for... Well, you know, he does come from a family that was one of the founding, let's say, forces behind Planned Parenthood. And let's look at another family, the Rockefellers. Now, why am I picking on them? Well, they supported all the eugenics research for Nazi Germany. They supported Margaret Sanger in her birth control review, sterilization, plant. She founded Planned Parenthood, abortion type of thinking. They owned the company, I think it's called IG Farben, that made Zyklon B gas that was used to gas people to death. They also own the company that makes RU486, the morning after abortion pill. Mm-hmm. They also, in 1910, sent an army of propagandists to every medical school in the country and influenced and bribed the administration of every single medical school in the country to basically shift away from evidence that is thousands of years old of natural healing purposes to brand new pharmaceutics, which at that time were made based on petroleum products. And the Rockefellers owned Standard Oil. They were the main supplier of petroleum products. So they founded the pharmaceutical industry. And then when it became obvious that these products were killing people like crazy, they founded the American Cancer Society. So we're dealing with Rick Bright, who sabotaged President Trump, sabotaged us.
Right.
And then got fired for insubordination, now works for the Rockefeller Foundation. So that's another family that I think we need to give a close look into. I'm sorry. And there are others, you know, the Rothschilds, for sure, because they have banking interests in absolutely every country in this world. There are more obscure families, like the Orsini family.
What needs to be done with these families that are perpetrating these true crimes against humanity across all sectors of our life, from health to financial, food, etc.? What needs to happen here?
Well, what happens to darkness when light turns on? So we need to... There are two ways to handle this one. We can usher in goodness into the world, because actually we're responsible. What do I mean by that? We as a society, as humanity, made really bad choices for a very long time. What do I mean? We desecrated life.
Right.
Desecrated marriage. We desecrated gender. We've codified immorality into law. We've created a society that's analogous to Sodom and Gomorrah. They were destroyed because they codified immorality into the law. That's why I'm, in one way, very grateful to President Trump, because he moved the federal judiciary to the right. He put over 300 justices, not only the Supreme Court justices, but the lower courts, with the right-leaning, you know, people that have traditional godly values, we hope. And so that does shift the moral compass of this country towards the right, and I hope that will lead to, let's say, the reversal of Roe versus Wade, which we're on the verge of potentially seeing. But that would be, in many ways, a credit to President Trump, because he instilled justices that live by a moral standard. Now, all these justices are brilliant. The problem is that if you start with a foundational values that are garbage, so your conclusions
are garbage.
Right. It's not that they're not smart, but their values are godless. So their conclusions will be godless. Anyway, so we've allowed, we created a metaphysical vacuum where God doesn't really want to reveal himself. Why would he? If I was God, I was thinking, like, why would I want this world to continue? Look at the disgusting thing. People forget about me. And they turn to worship science and technology and all these corrupt governments. And they do everything that's against my will. So that creates a vacuum where forces of evil, like these people, which if you, in my opinion, sum total who they are, they represent the distillation product of the primordial serpent. And they thrive. So one way that's actually doable is a internal resolution to improve your moral and spiritual foundation and really turn away from the worship of falseness and false gods and reconcile our hearts with the Creator.
You are in the process of going through cancer treatment right now. You are facing, you're at that sort of that proverbial crossroads right now. It can go one way or the other. You are charging ahead and embracing life. You just said earlier, when you were diagnosed, you decided to have another baby because you weren't going to stop and wait for the cancer to take you. You were going to take life as far as it could. Explain why you are not in fear of any of these things that you're saying when you're calling out any of these people and putting the truth out there about the agenda that is being, unfortunately, this war waged against humanity right now. Why do you have no fear, Dr. Zelenko?
First of all, it's completely irrelevant how you die and when you die. Because it's not in your control. It's not in my control. So worrying about that is pretty stupid. But what you are in control is how you live. And also, we live a finite period of time. So whether it's 20 years or 100 years, but in the grand scheme of creation and in relation to the infinite, it's insignificant. Mm-hmm. But what is absolutely remarkable, amazing, miraculous, is that God gives us consciousness and free choice, puts us into a realm of finite, limited existence, and allows us to connect through our actions with the eternal and the infinite. So you think I'm going to give up 1 nanosecond for some temporary, transient pleasure or peace of mind in lieu of connecting to the eternal? I mean, there's no choice there. If you think about it, it's completely irrelevant. And yes, I'm ready to die. First of all, I've been on that verge between life and death for 4 years. And so when you live at that address, a lot of things can happen, but I've resolved to surrender. Not give up, but surrender to whatever God will choose to do with me. I accept. Everything He does is perfect and good. But at the same time, you know, it's like when I practice medicine, it's a kind of a paradox. Because I'm nothing. God is the healer. And I'll pray to God that please let's help this patient. But when I go see that patient, I will do everything in my power, my knowledge, my experience to help the patient. So it's like I do everything I can, but and at the same time, message that it's all God. So it's a kind of a paradox, but it makes sense. And so the same here. So I know I stepped on the toes of the most evil forces on the planet. For example, there's a good reason they should be afraid of me. Because I found an approach that, for example, will eliminate the influenza virus and prevent the influenza virus by over-the-counter natural means and put out a $15 billion flu shot industry. Just like this. They better be afraid. And by the way, I have all this information distributed around the world, dead man switches. So when and if I go, the knowledge is not dead. It's been very strategically planted so that... and listen, I've inspired an army of people to practice medicine properly. You know, I was the first in the world to do it. You know, I basically had said to the world, you're all wrong, and they all came after me and beat me up really, really bad. Death threats, threats to my family, investigated by New York State, the DOJ, vilified by my colleagues, my name slandered through the media. I remember one time Washington Post posted that White House associated doctor under investigation by the DOJ for fraud. Mm-hmm. I didn't even see it, but my kids called me, freaking out. Tati, they call me father. Tati, are you in jail? What are you talking about? It freaked them out, you know? And so this type of disruption, they did everything possible, and they still do, to try to... I wonder why I haven't been assassinated yet. I'm on plenty of assassination lists. But I think that I had this kind of rise to people know me on a global stage, and that would, like, turn me into a martyr, almost. Mm-hmm. If I was them, the evil people, I don't think assassination is the best way to do, destroy me. I think try to assassinate my character and my credibility. Mm-hmm. I think that would be maybe more efficient. Mm-hmm. I don't know, but I do like to think like the enemy to better get a better understanding of who they are. And so you asked me a question, how to defeat the enemy. So I think one thing that everyone can do is actually make positive resolutions to reconcile their relationship with the Creator, however you understand the Creator, and perhaps we will merit a supernatural intervention. And let me be very specific what I mean. I don't see a natural way out of this. We're dealing with a Goliath. We need a divine supernatural intervention, but those aren't free. We have to pay a price, and the price is the reconciliation of human hearts with our Creator. There's a threshold there. I don't know that threshold, but it is there. And if enough of us plead and ask the Creator to have mercy in us, to accept our repentance, we perhaps may merit a messianic revelation. And I know this is what makes this kind of create sometimes different opinions. But my approach to the messianic question is, to me, it doesn't really matter if he's coming for the first time or he's coming back. What matters is that he comes.
That's right.
And when he comes, the truth will be revealed. And then there'll be no conflict because that's the truth. So everyone thinks their pony is better, but I don't care. I really don't. I care that he comes and that the world will be filled with the knowledge of God like the waters cover the seas. I really think that that's the preferable approach. And it will happen. The only question is the body count until it happens.
And to the body count, I'd like you to explain to everybody, you know, when you look back in history, you understand we stand on the shoulders of giants. And there's also the pits of hell that have had to have been crossed by these people that we're still standing on the shoulders of. What do you say to the people who have died and sacrificed for our freedoms both a millennia ago and as recently as yesterday?
I hope I will have the privilege to know you in the world to come, in the special place near God where you must be. And I hope, there's no guarantees, you know, only the person himself knows what they've done and they haven't done, you know. Mm-hmm. But God is very forgiving. But I envy them. I envy them for the character, the sacrifice, the inner core value that they acted on belief. So I pity us, not them.
Do you have hope for the future?
Yeah, very much. I really am very optimistic about the future. I just don't know exactly how it's going to play out, how long it's going to take, and how many people are going to fall until it happens. But I hope we can mitigate that number by spreading awareness. You see, I don't believe in making choices for people, but I do believe in the quality of opportunity to know everything. Know both sides of a message, and then make a decision. You have a head. You have a brain. Whatever that decision is, it's on you. But you have a right to see the full spectrum of knowledge. And what the enemy is doing everything in its power to suppress the message because they're afraid. They're afraid because there's many more of us. All we would need to do is in an organized fashion rise up and pivot and say no to every tyrannical mandate.
That's right.
And, you know, in World War II, one Nazi with a German Shepherd and a machine gun could corral, let's say, hundreds of Jews into a gas chamber. All it would have taken was for the group to turn around and trample him. Okay, the inner circle would have died, you know. But after a while, he would have run out of bullets, you know. They could have trampled him to death. Why didn't they do it? Because they were demoralized. They were dehumanized. They lost hope. And so this is what the enemy is doing to us. It's a psychological war. So we need to pivot. We need to send a message of hope, a message of sacrifice. We want our children to be free. We have to pay the price. Our grandparents paid the price.
That's right.
And so do you want your own children to be free? Obviously. So now we need to sacrifice. And many of us will fall in battle. But that's okay.
That's okay.
I don't mind being in the first wave storming the beaches of Normandy. I view it as a privilege.
Dr. Zelenko, this is why I love you. This is why I admire you. And this is why millions of people around the world feel the same. You are the frontline warrior. You are running into the enemy's territory every single day, whether it's from your physician's desk or whether it's in front of a camera or whether it's in front of thousands of people like this weekend at the Health and Freedom Conference. What I love about you and what everybody loves about you is when you speak, a man who's patterned his speech very softly, people lean in to hear what you're saying. And I truly believe tonight people will be leaning in all over the world to hear your message of hope in the face of such demonic behavior and plans from people who have spent thousands of years getting to this point. But you believe God will rise and his people will rise with him.
I do, and I want to encourage anyone who is listening to dig deep, to believe that God is making you anew every instant of time out of love. Don't be afraid to die. Sacrifice. Coalesce together with like-minded people. Take your kids out of harm's way, which means the public school system. Don't take the poison death shot. Refuse it. And repent. And God bless you. I really do love humanity. I see, I didn't always grow up this way, but I do see the divine in God's creation. And it has sanctity and needs to be preserved, protected, especially the vulnerable amongst us, the elderly and the sick, which the enemy wants to exterminate. And so we're going to win. And the sooner you join the movement of reawakening the human soul and consciousness of the Creator, the less bodies we'll need to bury. God bless you.
It's a general immune health preventive strategy. So you need vitamin D, then you need zinc, which is the bullet, and then to form a functioning gun, you need vitamin C and quercetin. Patients were having trouble sourcing it because it was four different ingredients that were not always available in the same place. They had trouble finding the right doses. It was a puzzle that was a little too complex for people to put together. So I was asked to produce something that has everything in one package. So with the help of my colleagues, we were able to produce a compound called Z-Stack, which basically has vitamin C, vitamin D, and most importantly, has quercetin and zinc. And all I'm allowed to say is that it's an immune booster and nutritional supplement, which it is.